Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. A rather joyful opportunity for me today. I am joined for the balance of the hour by a very dear, dear lady. We have become fast and close friends in a very quick period of time. She has proven to be a trusted colleague and a true and earnest Christian and servant of the gospel. Her name is Jessica Whitfield, and she ministers by way of a ministry called No Hungry Bellies, also parents of murdered children, and you will love her. But first, before we share together, I turn to the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Thessalonians, the first epistle, beginning in the third chapter, the 11th verse. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you may do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. I love this passage of Scripture, simply because, and for so many other reasons, but perhaps first and foremost, because it places the accent upon the work of God. So often we are prone to speak of the things of God in such a way that we place burden upon ourselves. We suggest and act as if our gospel, or indeed the broader and deeper reality of our salvation, is predicated upon what we do. The reality is that our salvation is predicated upon who God is and all that God has done that is requisite to his character. The fact that God loves us is requisite to the fact that God is love. The fact that God will speak truth in love to us for our benefit is requisite to the fact that God cannot lie, that he can have nothing to do with deception. God always speaks truth. God always acts in accordance with the truth. And in God, and by way of him, the love and truth of God, or of Christ, go hand in hand, like hand in glove. You cannot have one without the other. So our salvation, our Christianity, is grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ, praise God. And therefore, it is what God does. And here in this text of Scripture, we read first and foremost that it is God who gives us direction. It was God, the Apostle Paul says, who would enable them, Paul that is, and his cohorts in ministry, to actually visit with the Thessalonian believers. It was God himself who gave the grace and the enablement for me to join ranks with this broadcasting station. A dear friend of mine from many years ago reached out to me, but it was God who made the arrangements, God who meets the weekly financial stipulation, God who provides an audience. You are all blessings to me from God. I trust that I am one to you as well. God giving direction, God giving provision, God offering us protection. Praise the Lord. But also we read in this text that it is God who gives increase of love to the Christians of Thessalonica. They are exhorted to love one another more and more. And Paul makes plain that it is God who enables that increase of love to happen. It is God who is love. It is God who loves us. How great is the love of God the Father, that he has lavished such love upon us that we should be called his beloved children. And Paul goes on to say, for that is exactly what we are. If you look to the Lord and receive your salvation from him, predicated upon what Christ has done at Calvary, it is God who loves you. It is God whose love motivated him to send his Son to the cross. It is God who pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, by whom his love is poured into our hearts as well. And it is God also, according to this text of Scripture, who establishes our hearts in holiness before him. We must always understand that God is nothing if he is not holy. Often we parlay God into some kind of arduous and unduly austere, even stern taskmaster or lawmaker. On the other side of the ledger, we will parlay God into some kind of doting and rather dementia-laden grandfather. He'll let us do anything and everything we want as long as we allow him to take a nap. God is none of these things. God, the Bible tells us, is holy, and he calls upon us to be holy as well. As we read down through this passage in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 7th verse, and we've already read it, for God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness. God, who is holy, would have his people also be holy. If there is one requisite by which you may enter the kingdom of God and stand before the Father who is in heaven, it will be the fact that you stand before him in holiness. And that comes only by way of Jesus Christ. There is none holy, none good, not one, according to the Scripture. But the free gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life to all who believe upon him. Indeed, the Bible will tell us that righteousness, that is the righteousness of God, a complementary to, if not synonymous with his holiness, the righteousness of God is given to us as a kind of gift. God placing the gift of righteousness upon our shoulders, even as Jesus Christ takes upon himself and bears upon his body on the tree our sins. To draw upon the language perhaps of the criminal world, Christ took the hit for us that we might receive and take upon ourselves the blessing that is the righteousness of God upon us, always through Christ, always, always through Jesus, who has loved us with his own life. We can never underestimate, never diminish how precious is this love of Christ. It would be blasphemous to my mind to in any way minimize how great is such love that has not only been lavished upon us, but has been lavished upon us by virtue of the fact that it was poured out, the blood of Christ was poured out at Calvary for our sakes. God establishes our hearts in holiness before him. And we go on to read that regarding this holiness, whoever disregards this dictum, disregards not man but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you, his Holy Spirit. There are all manner of unclean spirits at large and at work in the world. All too often they have targeted the church of the living God, and often the church is not proven up to the task. But the fact of the matter is that our God is greater than he who is in the world. And therefore, when God issues such a dictum as this, we would do well to abide in it, looking to him and trusting in him, that we will be given all requisite grace in order to abide in the will of God, to be expressive of the holiness of God, to know what it means for the love and truth of Christ to commingle in our lives. I love this text, and you know, it's a beautiful thing because Paul goes on to say, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus, as you've received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing. May you do so more and more, to walk in a manner that brings pleasure to God. I love how Paul puts it elsewhere in the text of Scripture, from Colossians, the first chapter. It has always been one of the most endearing texts to my own mind and heart. Paul says that we are, by way of living a life worthy of God, by way of pleasing Him in every way, he gives us four particulars. He says that we're to bear fruit in every good work. He goes on to say that we are to grow in the knowledge of God. Third, we are to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. And therefore, to number four, that we may give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be members of His family by way of Jesus Christ. Praise God. God, through Christ, qualifying us to live lives holy and pleasing to Him. I direct you to this God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never lead you astray. Praise His name. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined now, and delightfully so, by a very dear lady by the name of Jessica Whitfield. She is a true Christian, a joyful soul, a fruitful and earnest servant of the gospel. As far as I'm concerned, more important still, my very dear and trusted friend. Jessica, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you. I'm just so happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you, Jessica. You have taken our church by storm. I trust that you know that. And I trust that the audience will find that you've taken them by storm as well. You have a wonderful ministry that you have started called No Hungry Bellies. And folks can turn to the website, literally nohungrybellies.org, and learn more of who you are and what you do. But would you be so kind as to share of this ministry to our audience right now?
Absolutely, yes. So No Hungry Bellies is just, it's a very dear ministry, close to my heart. And, you know, it started when I was in a really kind of like dark and grieving place, missing my mother, who I had just lost back in 2019. And my husband was telling me, hon, you need to find something to do. Because, you know, I mean, when you don't focus on anything else but grief, it can, you know, really be bad. So the Lord put on my heart to do what I love, and that's to encourage others, give to others. So myself, my daughter, and my granddaughter, we packed a few sandwiches and some juices and snacks, and we headed out to Philadelphia, and it just started off from there back in September of 2020. And it just slowly but surely grew as I saw that the needs grew, you know. And Pastor Brad, you were kind enough to give me Bible tracts, because the most important thing is sharing the Word of God and the love of Christ. So that's the most important thing. And, you know, just having a conversation with people that are homeless, that, hey, every soul matters to God. We love you, and God loves you too.
Jessica, what is it, what do you think it was about the homeless that drew you? I mean, we all have gravitational pulls, if you will. For me, for instance, people who struggle emotionally or psychologically, even spiritually, I tend to gravitate with great empathy and sympathy towards them. I feel very much at ease, and I believe I have something to offer them by the grace of God. What is it about the homeless that drew you?
I believe just compassion. I'm an empath. That's how God created me. And just seeing so much of it, even when I would work a full-time job and going into Center City and just wanting to do something to help people. I mean, I don't have much, but God always provides what we need. It's so amazing. And I just felt like I have to do something to help these people, even if it's just a bite to eat. I couldn't imagine, you know, I have a very keen awareness now, especially from being a caregiver, just thanking God just for the little things that so many of us take for granted, you know, not having a roof over our heads, not having a place to take a nice hot bath or shower, just having like maybe one of our favorite snacks, you know, and learning not to judge these people because we don't know the circumstances by which they've ended up how they have. I mean, there are some drug addicted homeless people. There's a lot, as a matter of fact, but there's others that have mental illness. There's others whose circumstances were beyond their control that they have wound up in the streets. And it's just, it's really sad. And I just want to do something to share the love of Christ, to let them know they are not forgotten, that they matter. And this doesn't have to be there forever. This doesn't have to be the rest of their life, that there's a God that still cares, that will never leave them nor forsake them.
You know, Jessica, I haven't had much dealings with the homeless during my tenure in Philadelphia. But when I lived in Boston, I was out and about quite prolifically and came across the homeless almost every day. And one thing I discovered of them, and I wasn't overtly or formally ministering to them, I would simply find myself walking past them or sitting next to them on the subway. We would find ourselves having conversation. What I discovered of homeless people is something that I think is lost on many. And what I found in them was their humanity. For instance, I was sitting in the subway station at Harvard Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts, late one Saturday night, waiting for the last train out of Dodge, so to speak, to go home. My best friend was with me, and he and I were chatting about old movies. You're an old movie buff, as am I. And we were discussing Clark Gable, the king. And this homeless man sitting next to us, I could discern peripherally that he was listening with scrutiny to what we were saying. And he decided to join in on the conversation. And guess what? This guy was practically an authority on Clark Gable and the films of Clark Gable. I've never forgotten this conversation. You wouldn't expect that. But that was just one indication amongst so many others. I had another gentleman. He had a wonderful sense of humor. He was hitting me up for some money. I had just given what I had available to offer to a homeless man about a block back. And I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry, but what I had to offer, I just gave to the gent back there." And this man chuckled. He says, "Hey, you win some, you lose some." And he just walked away chuckling. The humanity of the homeless is what struck me. I'm sure that you encounter this in a very visceral way on a routine basis.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because homeless people, they are humans too. You know, we tend to forget that. A lot of times when people donate, and they mean well, but, you know, some stuff is not appropriate to give another human being, you know. A lot of times there might be decent clothes, gently used, but people have pets, so I'll wash them. But other stuff that may have holes in it or just not suitable, I don't use. And my motto has always been for the ministry that I'm not going to give someone something I wouldn't wear. I'm not going to feed someone something that I would not eat. You know, I'm very cautious and mindful of expiration dates, and things of that nature. And yes, they are human beings. Sometimes they, the men, you know, one time I tried to give a man a flowered quilt, and you know, it was cold and everything, but he didn't want that. He wanted something more masculine.
Yeah.
And you can't take that away from them. I mean, one would think, well, it's cold. Why? But it's just, it's a little deeper than that, because they are still human beings. Some of them vegan, you know, things of that, they can't have pork. It could make them sick. It's not about being picky or just be grateful for what you get. They still have preferences. They're still human beings, whether they're homeless or not. And I get that.
Well, Jessica, knowing you as I have come to know you, I'm well aware of your sensitivities. I can only imagine the kind of pleasure and even gratitude that these men and women experience, because I know you're treating them as human beings. I know that you are not condescending towards them. I know that you are only applying to them. I mean, how is it Jesus puts it, that do unto others as you would have them do unto you? I think of what a missionary once said out on the global field, because often they would receive broken computers as gifts from churches. And the missionary made the comment, if it's broken for you, it's broken for us. You know, you
bought
this, you see, through the lens of the love of Christ, and I praise God. These homeless men and women are blessed to be on the receiving end, not simply of what you give them, but of who you are. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey and Jessica Whitfield of No Hungry Bellies, we return in a moment.
This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken.
Brad Lacey and Jessica Whitfield joining together for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Jessica, I have a habit when I read profusely. Circumstances currently have precluded my capacity to read, as I'm sure you know what I'm dealing with. But as the norm, I read profusely, and I tend to read several books simultaneous one to the other. I have several books running concurrent. You do something similar with ministry. You can't just do one ministry. You've got several running concurrent. And it speaks so beautifully and highly of not only of your character, but of your depth of commitment to the kingdom of God. We've shared briefly about your work with No Hungry Bellies and the homeless, but you've gotten yourself involved in another ministry. You're not formally aligned, but you are guided by them. It's something called Missing in Philly, and you have a heart for children who are missing, whether they've been kidnapped or they've run away. You know, God and God alone knows the circumstances, but there are far more children AWOL, if you will, than we would care to realize. Share with us, please, your insights in what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I do a lot of research and looking online for different things, resources and ways that I can help. And I came across the Missing in Philly, and it's not just children, but women as well. And I was surprised at the number of missing in the area that I serve in Kensington, in Philadelphia, and with the children. And you don't hear this really, there's nothing about them that I've heard, at least on the news. And I was very alarmed at the number of children that have been missing, even in the city of Philadelphia. So the Lord laid it upon my heart to take these photos of the information and have flyers made. And God always blesses, because he sent my friend to me, who I've known for many years, a sister in Christ, who has a printing business, and she prints 150 flyers. I put them in the, I'll put some in the toiletry bags or snack bags that I give to the homeless, or I'll just hand, and I'll have another stack just to hand out. And hoping that, you know, just what I'm doing, the streets talk. So there may be someone that knows something, and there's a contact information on the flyer. So if someone does know where the missing is or has any information, they can call and hopefully bring these children and these missing women and men back to their family.
It is a frightening reality. You know, we hear about what's playing out in the Ukraine, the kind of horrors being inflicted upon the Ukrainian people at the hands of the Russian military. It's a frightening, frightening reality. I know in my own world, I deal in a spiritual realm and certainly a very material and physical one as well. I will be made privy to the sorrows and the traumas of people who might otherwise, in the public setting, seem to be doing well and faring well. We never know what ails or afflicts the human heart, what it must be like to be so separated from one's loved ones, whatever the circumstances may be. But you, I guess you have to construe that these poor children, these horribly afflicted women, they're alone. They're living lonely lives, whether they're in captivity or they're just lost, but they're alone. And not to have a familial support system around them, not to have a friend or friends to whom they can turn, this is an absolutely horrid reality. How can we be a blessing to them?
Yes, absolutely it is. Well, yeah, it's something, it's horrifying for me to just even think about it. And the blessing is to just first and foremost to pray that they, their loved ones are safe and that they will be located and return home. But, you know, sometimes there's circumstances where you do actually have children that run away because the home is such a horrible environment for them. So that's unfortunate as well. You know, there's so many different circumstances. And then you have the sex trafficking. And a lot of these women are kidnapped and taken abroad and they're drugging them and prostituting them. And it's really sad. And even young children are subjected to this. And I'm not sure what can be done on a higher level, but I know that it is a problem. And, you know, even with the violence going on in the city of Philadelphia, you know, I think that the best thing that we can do is pray. The church needs to be present. We need to be sharing the gospel and the love of Christ. I believe that the Lord is what is missing, that the sharing of the gospel is what is missing. Taking God out of everything, I believe that's the worst thing we could do. We take God out of our schools. We take God out of the Ten Commandments removed from the courthouse. Like, you know, when you remove God, you might as well say that you're replacing it with all of this, with the violence, with the despair, with the negativity. You know, God is a God of love, and love is what we need. And love is what we need to share with others.
Jessica, theologically, the great harm that was done by the human fall from grace and into sin, the great tragedy and trauma, the great travesty, is that we have become fractured. Sin by its nature fractures and breaks apart. So you can have human beings who are fractured from within. They are no longer whole. For instance, the heart speaks one thing, the mind speaks another. The wisdom that is within one's breast speaks one thing, but the desires of the flesh speak another. And quite candidly, there are many, many people, as you well know, who go about their lives and they're just inwardly lost and forlorn because they've been ruptured in their relationship with the Almighty, who is God, our Holy and Heavenly Father. And from that, from the rupture betwixt us and God, there befalls loneliness within us. There befalls breakage, if you will, between the sexes. Men and women no longer necessarily understand one another. Men and women have differing motivations and perceptions and ways of thought. Then you have the rupture amongst the races, white, black, and Asian, and so forth down the line. It's that fracture that is so distressing. And these poor men, women, and children who are missing in action, if you will, they are experiencing, if you will, the end result or logical conclusion of this fracture which sin has produced. It's frightening. And yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That the Church of Jesus Christ must step into the fray and be the people of God. I've always, and I wish for your response here, I think I know what you're going to say, praise God. I've always wanted our lovely little fellowship to be the place that where perhaps no one else, if no one else wanted them, they could come to us and find a home. And we have had people amongst us, and I know for a fact, no one else wanted them. If they can't come to us, where could they go? No one else wanted them. So we pray for the missing, and we endeavor to embody a message and a lifestyle that will speak to and perhaps draw them back to the Lord.
Yes.
You've come amongst us.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, You've come, thank you. You've come amongst us, and want to say our lovely little fellowship. And you very quickly found a home amongst us. And I'm not looking to make First Baptist Church at Conshohocken the focus of attention. But what are some of the dynamics that you found amongst us by God's grace that you believe would be helpful elsewhere and that could be used by the Spirit of God to draw some of the missing back into familial and nurturing environments?
Well, I know one of the things that I have experienced from coming there is just being recognized, you know, just embraced with love. And again, keyword love, genuine love, you know, the love of Christ. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And just the intimacy that we all share, sitting together, being able to talk and share what's on our hearts, pray for one another, and then really do it. Like I've always said that it's so important when you say you're in my prayers, it just seems like something that everybody says, or even like if they're doing the hand emojis, the praying hand emojis, you know, but are you really praying? Because prayer is so precious. That's the most precious thing someone can do for you. And I believe that my church family does that for me. You know, I even have one, Carol, who calls me every day to check on me and see how I'm doing. That means so much. No one has ever done that for me before. You know, that we have a church family that genuinely cares. We pray for one another. We break bread with one another, which is lovely. We hang out way after church service and love on one another and laugh and cry if we need to. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what I think people need, you know, to know that, you know, despite of your circumstances, despite what's going on, and not even the homeless per se, but like people that are just broken, they need to know that the Lord loves them. And there's still people out there that, that haven't been corrupted, for lack of a better word, by society, like true believers, true followers of Jesus Christ that can genuinely love on you and share the gospel. Like, you know, following Christ, in especially in the time and climate such as now, is so imperative. I don't see how people can live without him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I will tell you that with our lovely little fellowship, and sometimes we've paid a price for it, but the grace of God, we've always assimilated new friends almost overnight, and it proves to be a great blessing. But Brad Lacey and Jessica Whitfield, we return one more round in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Jessica Whitfield of No Hungry Bellies, returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. For the benefit of the audience, this dear lady has literally taken our lovely little fellowship in Conshohocken by storm. She brings a depth of sincerity. She brings a depth and expanse of joy that literally everyone is feeling. This is the dear lady who organized and orchestrated a lovely tea, amassing some 35 women in honor of my beautiful wife, who is now battling pancreatic cancer. Jessica simply cannot do enough in the love of Christ. And she tends to commingle one ministry with another ministry, a third ministry upon a fourth. And Jessica, you are involved with something called Parents of Murdered Children, a ministry that is overseen, at least the Philadelphia chapter, by the Reverend Leroy West, a very dear man who has also become my friend. Tell us about Parents of Murdered Children. And I know you have a forthcoming special event. In fact, it may very well be today as this broadcast is airing.
Yes, yes. So it's coming up on a year this month, as a matter of fact, that I met Reverend Lee. We had a small men's fellowship here, like a little cookout type of thing. And a friend of ours invited Reverend Lee over. So that was the first time I had met him. And, you know, I was sharing about No Hungry Bellies, and he gave me his business card and, well, not business, but his nonprofit, and shared with me the story about how his daughter was murdered. And it was just so awful. And but ironic because the Lord had also placed on my heart to start reaching out to some families. And I had been working with two families already prior to meeting Reverend Lee that had lost their children brutally to homicide. And, you know, the Lord just kept leading me in that direction. And next thing I knew, I was volunteering with Reverend Lee. And now it's been a year, and it's not easy, you know, dealing with this type of situation. And it's even more heartbreaking because it's happening so much. Every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a parent, a mother crying that her child was brutally murdered. You know, most of these kids are taken to gun violence. And unfortunately, it hit home for my family, and my nephew was shot twice in his head on May 17th, 2022. His funeral is coming up on Monday. So, you know, we're just preparing for that. It's very sad. And but on a brighter note, we do have a empowerment brunch for men that are grieving, not just fathers, but all men. It could be brothers, uncles, godfathers, cousins, just, you know, anyone that has lost a loved one to homicide. We want the men to come out to this empowerment brunch. It's free, free food. You're going to be encouraged and loved on. And there's going to be some guest speakers just to encourage everyone, because unfortunately, the men are often forgotten or, you know, pushed in back in front of the moms. And it's nothing to take away from the moms, but men matter too. And they grieve differently. And a lot of times they hold things in. And this is just something to support men and say, hey, we see you. Come out and in food and fellowship and, you know, be encouraged.
You know, speaking as a man, I've been blessed in the one respect that I've always felt free to address my emotions. I've never been inhibited. I find it to be by no means an unmanly pursuit. You know, but most men have not been given this, even in this day and age. We're expected to talk sports and politics, and many men feel it's unmanly, excuse me, to address their emotions. It's a frightful thing, because that means that men are trapped. They can't breathe properly, and it will inhibit them. So I thank God to hear of this. You know, I remember, I'm going back now to 1998, when I was in Russia, my final year of teaching in Russia. I learned upon my return that a very dear lady who I had known for several years had been brutally murdered. In fact, the family had wanted me to do the funeral, but I was abroad. In fact, my return from Moscow to JFK Airport was the actual day of the funeral, so it was impossible. But I just remember how surreal, frighteningly surreal, was the fact that this very dear lady, in fact, the year prior, I had taken her to dinner for Thanksgiving Day. We were very good friends. That she was gone, but because a man had brutally murdered her. He tied her up, and he proceeded, and I don't mean to be offensive, but he proceeded to do violence to her head. Just a frightfully surreal thing. That kind of frightfully surreal thing, for lack of a better word, I'm sorry, has to be escalated a thousandfold when you discover that it's your child who's been the victim. And I know that for Leroy West and his beautiful wife, they know what that's like. But it is also what prompted them to pursue this ministry. Praise God. What do you see coming out of this, Jessica? I mean, you've been invested now for a year. Tell us some of the fruit you see coming out of it. Obviously, men being allowed to address their feelings. What else?
Yeah. So, we're looking. Well, one of the things of many, we would like for the more support of the men, you know, and then male mentors. These young guys out here, they need other men to support them, to say, hey, we see you. You know, we would love to be able to have maybe a POMC job fair, you know, and try and get younger men doing something positive, you know, and learning how to earn an honest dollar, you know. I mean, there's so much of wanting that quick money, you know, that fast money, and that's blood money. I mean, let's be honest, like, you know, let's earn an honest living. Not anything that comes quick sometimes is not a good sign. There's a red flag there. So we're hoping to really reach men more. We would like men to be involved more with the support group, because it's usually all the moms that are on the line once a month. And we would love the men to be involved more too. God created us with these emotions and feelings. It's okay to grieve.
Yeah. But Jessica, you know what we need? I agree with you. We need more men, but you know what else we need?
What's that?
We need more Jessica Whitfields, through whom the beauty and power of Christ is made manifest. But we are at an end. I'm so sorry. You will come back, I know. Praise God. Oh. God bless you. Brad Lacey and Jessica Whitfield, we bid you the blessing of God. Thank you.